Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I suppose that many people are familiar with the lyrics of a song we often sing, "Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard." Friend, when the inspired men of the Bible wrote the Bible, and when they preached, their subject was Jesus the Christ. Over and over they told mankind the story of Jesus and all the things that are related to him. And this, after all, is what constitutes the preaching of the gospel of Christ. So for the next several programs, I'm going to spend our time telling the story of Jesus, pointing out the many different events that occurred in his lifetime. And it will take several programs to cover this. But the first four books of the New Testament, they reveal to us what we can know about the life of Jesus Christ here upon this earth. Now, it's not accurate to speak of the four Gospels. There's only one Gospel. But we do have four records of various events that took place of his life while he was here on this earth. Actually, these records are so brief that they just barely qualify to be called biographies. They cover only a small portion of the things concerning him, and the things which he said, and the things which he did, the things that he taught. Other than the final week before his crucifixion, for instance, the book of John records events in only 25 other days of his life. Why, that certainly could not be called a biography. And of the some 3.5 years of his ministry on earth, only about 10% of his days are even mentioned. And there are huge gaps in the record of his entire life. And we'll point out the reason for that. As John wrote, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." John 20:30-31. Here we find the real reason for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These things were written so that we might have the evidence to believe of his identity as the Son of God and the Savior of man. And John further wrote, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." So we have in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John only a summary of some of the things that Jesus did and some of the events that occurred in his earthly ministry. And we want to spend our time looking at those sort of things. Now, from the passages that I've just read to you from John, we know that we have only a limited supply of information concerning him. But friend, we can be confident. We have what God has considered adequate to create faith in Jesus as the Christ and to prove his identity as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. We don't need to know everything that Christ did in order to have confidence in him. That which the Lord has seen fit to reveal to us will adequately prove Jesus to be our Savior. And these four books, they're the only reliable source of information that we have concerning him. I know that people have written a lot of things about the Christ. They've injected their own ideas. They've injected their own concepts of him. And those things so often are not revealed to us in Scripture, but come from the imaginations of the minds of men. But the only reliable source that we have about Jesus Christ is from the Bible. Now, we have prophetic references to him in the Old Testament that teach us, pointing toward the coming of Christ. And there are other books in the New Testament besides Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that give us pieces of information. They enlarge our understanding of him. But there is a scarcity of uninspired books that tell about Christ. During the period of history that Christ lived, there wasn't much that was written concerning him. But that's not what is important. What is important is that what we have was guided by the Holy Spirit, and therefore it's infallible, it's accurate, we can be confident in it. We learn of Christ, we turn to the Bible, and to learn of his ministry on earth, we turn primarily to these first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, the study in which we're going to start today, it's going to be limited in many ways. It will be more a summary form. We're going to exclude a discussion about his pre-existence with God before his incarnation. And we will also have only a passing reference to the many, many prophetic references concerning him. But we shall begin with the angel's announcement of the coming birth of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ. He came to prepare the way for the coming of the Savior. And we're going to continue to talk about Christ all the way through to his ascension back into heaven. We're going to see some of the things that he said, many of the things that he did, the marvel of which this character is. Now, this lesson is presented in the hope that this even abbreviated account of the life of Jesus on earth is going to benefit both young and old alike, and people maybe who have never really seriously studied the Christ might be motivated and encouraged to find out more about him. And they'll take up their Bible and they begin to read about the Christ. It is essential that we acquaint ourselves with divine revelation concerning the one on whom we must depend for a successful life in this world and also for a glorious existence in heaven in eternity. Now, one of the things we're going to find as we study these four books, sometimes there is an event that's recorded in only one of the books, sometimes two, sometimes three, very seldom all four. And we're all going to see also that the chronology of these things is very confusing at times. We can't be sure just exactly if something that's recorded, say, in Matthew, whether it took place or something similar that's recorded in Luke or in John, but the chronology is not what is most important. Now, there are those things in which the chronology is important, and we'll find those as we read in the context. But there are so many things about the life of Christ. The fact that they occurred, that's what's important, and the meaning of them. So we begin with the story of Christ, and it begins with the story of John the Baptist, of which we read here in Luke, the first chapter. It was the time of the morning sacrifice, and the priests would perform their task concerning their assigned time. Zacharias was one of the priests, and his wife was named Elizabeth. Zacharias and Elizabeth are called righteous. They are said to be blameless. In other words, they are people who walked in the commandments of the Lord. But they were stricken in years, and furthermore, Elizabeth had been barren all her days. Yet, during the time that Zacharias was performing his priestly duties, he was visited by an angel of the Lord who came and told him of the coming birth of a son, and this son was to be named John. Now, as a sign that this event would take place, the angel said that Zacharias would not be able to speak until the son was born. He was told of the work that John would do, how that he would go forth in the spirit and the power of Elijah, calling people to repentance, announcing the coming of the kingdom, making ready a people prepared for the Lord. Yes, John had been forecast by the prophets that he would come. And now the angel tells his father, this boy is on his way. But then we turn to another announcement, this recorded in Luke and in Matthew, and that's the announcement to Mary. The biblical scene shifts from Jerusalem to Galilee in the north and the little village of Nazareth. The angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, who was betrothed to a man named Joseph. Now, both of them were descendants of David. Joseph was a carpenter, and their means seemed to have been very modest, possibly even poor. And this we determine from the kind of sacrifices that they offered, which were the sacrifices of the poor. And even though they were bound to each other, they had not yet come together as husband and wife. Mary was a virgin. Now she was told of a son that was to be born unto her, and his identity, his name, how he would be the fulfillment of God's promise through the Davidic lineage, all of that was revealed to Mary. He was called the Hope of Israel. Now, having difficulty to accept this announcement because she was a virgin, nonetheless, this good woman humbled herself before God, and soon it was apparent that she was with child, but this child was of the Holy Spirit. We then read about her visit to her cousins Elizabeth, the one who would give birth to John the Baptist. We read of the great words of praise that she spoke that at the time of this visit. And meanwhile, Joseph was very perplexed and disturbed. He even suspected infidelity on the part of Mary. But he was informed by an angel otherwise. He was told that the child of Mary was of God, and his mind was set at ease, and he dismissed his plans to put her away. Being assured by the information from God, he recognized this as the fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son." We read about that in Isaiah 7:14. Well, friend, we're going to stop at this particular point. We'll take up with this again in our next program when we read about the things concerning Mary and Joseph. Their lifetime here upon this earth was a very difficult time for them. John the Baptist was born. The circumstances about the law of Moses was followed. They obeyed the circumcision of John the Baptist. And even though some suggested that he be named after his father said not so. He would be named John, because that's what the angel had instructed, how his name was to be John. So at the birth, Zacharias was no longer without ability to speak. His words of praise were offered unto God, and this good man and Elizabeth his wife began the rearing of the child of the man who would be the forerunner of the Savior of all mankind. Now in our next section, as we read in Matthew and Luke, we're going to read about the time of the birth of the Christ, because this is a most important time, not one that we celebrate, but one of which we'll glory and give God praise. Well, we hope that you'll be interested in listening to the things concerning the Christ. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.